Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's Toy Mania here at Big W. People are going hypo for Hot Wheels 10-pack cars, just $10, save $7.50. And freaking out over Fingerlings, just $12, save $8 while stocks last. Lay-by now for Christmas. Hurry, sale ends July 11.
Hello and welcome to the Celtics Life Podcast. I am Topher Lane alongside Josh Coyne. Josh, how's it going?
Absolutely perfect.
Well, today we're going to be taking a closer look at the Kyrie Irving trade. Listeners got a bare bones pod from our own Justin Quinn, but we wanted to really delve in and hash out our thoughts on one of the bigger trades from any team this offseason. You say it's perfect. Are you in a good mood about this trade, or where are you kind of standing as far as this trade goes?
It's been up and down all day, to be honest. I obviously, with the time delay here, you guys got it, in the nighttime, and I got it in the wee hours of the morning. But I woke up to a string of texts from friends in group messages and things like that, and I kind of unleashed this unholy gasp that actually made my girlfriend think that possibly something very serious had happened. Which puts things into perspective a little bit, because I then turned around and told her that a big trade had happened, and she kind of tutted and sighed and turned back around. But it's been up and down all day. Originally, there was a lot of kind of sadness and a lot of, you know, it's a bit heartbreaking in so many ways to see Isaiah mainly go. Isaiah and obviously Ainge's favorite player, Mr. Draft Pick. But obviously, eventually you then start to rationalize things. And something that I wouldn't have even conceived as possible last week has taken place. And we've been able to pick up an elite scorer. Honestly, one of the best finishers near the rim I've ever seen in my life. And someone who can possibly push the team forward.
Well, when you look at it from that perspective, I totally agree. And I'm on the same kind of page that you are. I go back and forth throughout the day. I've gone every direction of like, this is great. I'm really happy about this. All the way from like that spectrum down to like, Danny Ainge should be fired. You know, that's not a serious, I don't genuinely believe that, but a tiny bit, I'm like, man, I'm really upset because I really loved Isaiah. Jay Crowder, I followed since he played at Marquette. So I love Jay Crowder. I didn't have a huge connection to Zizic in any capacity. So I didn't mind that aspect. But then the Brooklyn pick, I know a lot of people were really upset that that's included in the trade. And we've gone every direction as far as the Brooklyn pick. But what are your thoughts on the Brooklyn pick being included in this? Does that make it suddenly like a poison pill, make it a bad trade for you? If that had been off the table, would you be more cool with this?
No, it doesn't make it a poison for me, because this, I mean, it's been discussed already today, but Danny Ainge really can't win, because all of us will cry out for Ainge to finally make a move and stop kind of sleeping on these assets. And then obviously once he actually makes a move, he's kind of criticized for going too far. He's been holding on to these assets and kind of stashing them for such a long time that once he makes a move, you know, it had to be a good return, and he's obviously seen the chance to get an elite scorer. With the next pick, I think that he might believe that the value of the next pick has diminished with the addition of Crabb, D'Angelo Russell, and Damari Carroll. Also, the Lakers pick that they got with in the Fultz and Tatum trade may end up being kind of around the same area of the draft, possibly, as the next pick, if not better. So for me, I don't think it's actually a particularly poisonous loss. And I think that eventually, as the season progresses, we might start to see that.
How? Well, so I agree. And I'm not the Brooklyn pick. I wasn't someone who says that it should have been completely off the table. But we've seen the resurgence of Trader Danny. Like, he had been really quiet for a while, and now he's really, really back with this. He's back with a vengeance, trading the number one pick for the three pick, right? And he got some cool stuff out of that, got Tatum. Apparently, he was targeting Tatum the entire time. Then he trades Bradley, because we need to, for Gordon Hayward. Then he trades Isaiah, Jay Crowder, and Zizic, along with this pick. It's like, we're going to have four players from last year's roster returning. Four.
It's an incredible overhaul when you think about it, because he has been really, really ruthless. But at the end of the day, I think, to put it into perspective, I think that maybe in every single move, even by proxy and not kind of directly, but it's had a domino effect, with every move, we've actually ended up with the better player of the deal, in my opinion.
Well, with the exception of the Bradley trade, for sure. But that one we had to lose. Like, we had to lose whoever we had to trade, whether it was Marcus Smart, Jay Crowder, or Avery Bradley. In some capacity, we had to lose that trade. And that's the only one I disagree with you on.
Yeah, I think that possibly, though, the Avery Bradley thing was kind of related to us eventually getting Gordon Hayward. So for me, that's kind of what I mean by proxy. You know, to clear up room for Hayward, we needed to sacrifice someone, and Bradley was that guy. And in that move, if you add it all together, I believe that possibly we got the better player out of the deal.
Yeah, that's fair. So then, bigger picture, do you think that this move improves the Celtics' chance at going to the finals this year, or long term, does this make us a better team in the future?
I think, it's certainly a move. I mean, obviously, over the last couple of years, we've been doing a kind of Ainge and the team have been doing a simultaneous rebuild and contendership, which is, you know, I mean, that's admirable and almost unheard of.
But it's fun for us as fans, you know?
Yeah, it's amazing, you know? But some people obviously want to put kind of all their eggs in the rebuild basket more than the contending basket because of the juggernaut out west and actually even the juggernaut in Cleveland. But I personally think that it brings them closer to beating Cleveland. I think that Kyrie has killed the Celtics in the last couple of years in important games. And when Boston have game planned for LeBron, Kyrie has been virtually unstoppable and more damaging than LeBron to Boston in recent times.
So do you think that Isaiah Thomas is going to be that now?
Do you mean for Cleveland?
Yeah. Do you think that he's going to be the unstoppable force that we run into when we're trying to game plan for LeBron James?
I think we'll see, but I think a lot of that has to do with the coaching. So, you know, Stevens, Boston basically was the perfect situation for Isaiah. I think he found the perfect fit in Boston. With Stevens, and you know, he was obviously incredible in the last couple of years and found himself in a situation where Stevens could build the offense around his offensive strengths and surround him with players that compensate for his defensive weaknesses. He was the perfect character and personality for the team, you know, but we'll see what the fit is like in Cleveland when he will be playing second fiddle to obviously the greatest basketball player in the game. And obviously, that's a lot to do with his health as well. So time will tell, I think. And actually, time will tell how good the trade looks for Ainge on whether basically IT is healthy and whether he can continue to be as great for Cleveland. And then obviously with the next pick, if you put them all together in about 6 months, this deal might look 10 times better.
And I totally agree with that. And I was someone, and listeners know that I'm someone who was really skeptical about giving Isaiah a max deal come next offseason.
Yeah.
In part, I mean, I would have been fine if it was shorter term, like 1-2 years, but he's going to be on the wrong side of 30 in 2 years. And with the way that he plays, I can't imagine that he'll be durable. And I feel like he's going to go down with some catastrophic injury when he's 31 years old. And suddenly the last half of his max deal looks awful. So I was skeptical about that. And this completely alleviates Danny Ainge's need to even have that conversation, because now he's got Kyrie Irving for 2 years as opposed to having to make a decision with Isaiah and then maybe be left with nothing.
Exactly. You know, Isaiah wanted the Brinks truck, and I think that the consensus was that it was perhaps unrealistic for a guy his age, his size, and You know, he's an incredibly unique talent, but it's a talent that always felt, and I loved Isaiah Thomas as a Boston Celtic, but it felt as though it had a time limit, almost like it was a ticking clock. And one day, eventually, they'll kind of find him, defences will kind of find him out. And I just don't think they could hold on to him at the price that he was hoping for. And like you said, it alleviates him, Ainge, from making a decision like that that would obviously be unpopular if they just let him walk. But to get an elite point guard in return for that at this stage, I mean, it's quite astounding, really. It's similar to Avery in the fact that, you know, they wanted to get Hayward and they had to make a big sacrifice for a very popular player. But, you know, that ruthlessness pays off because they couldn't pay Isaiah and they've got an incredible return in exchange.
What do you think this does for Cleveland?
I think for Cleveland, it you know, considering the scenario of Kyrie requesting the trade and, you know, that came out of nowhere and that kind of left them in a very awkward situation, especially considering the fact that his value started to diminish day by day. And I think that they've got a really good deal for it. They've got a versatile player in Crowder who, in the right situation, as we found, can really prosper, especially defensively. Adds a bit of toughness to the team alongside LeBron, obviously. And I think Isaiah, if he can remain to full health, can return to full health, and, you know, if they can keep hold of him, bearing in mind that obviously he wants the Brinks truck. And he can continue to be the kind of personality and flourish in the way that he did in Boston when kind of in the shadow of LeBron. I think they've got a hell of a return for it. And I actually, for that reason, think that this trade really works for both teams. I think in terms of game plan, it'll be interesting to see if Cleveland are as prepared as Boston were to hide Isaiah on defense and kind of game plan around him for certain situations. What do you think to that?
Well, so I agree in the sense that both teams, it works out for both teams, this trade, I think, because I like the move. I think Cleveland definitely got the best haul they were going to find for Kyrie Irving, all things considered, and they did a great job making this trade happen. And the Celtics, I can't say that they got worse. Like, I've been looking for a way that the Celtics have become a worse team because of this trade. And really, like you said a little bit earlier, we upgraded Isaiah Thomas. We got one of the best finishers in the game at the rim, a guy who's true and tested in the NBA Finals, who has a championship ring, who has a gold medal, all this stuff. So I can't see a way that this hurts either team unless you get to, like, durability and stuff like that. So My only response to that kind of differs is probably that I think that the relationship between Isaiah and Brad Stevens worked so much better than what it might with Tyronn Lue. I'm significantly higher, and not because I'm a Celtics fan, but because I'm a basketball fan, on Brad Stevens as a coach more than I am on Tyronn Lue as a coach. I don't think that Tyronn is that good. I think LeBron James is a good coach, and I think he's helped guide his team to the finals as many times as he has. I don't think Tyronn Lue or David Blatt were very much responsible for the Cavaliers making it to the finals in any of the seasons LeBron has been with them. So if Tyronn Lue is keeping the helm, I don't think Isaiah is going to mesh or be as elite as he has been with Brad Stevens.
He's certainly not going to benefit from the system created by Tyronn Lue as he was with Stevens, because, you know, Stevens' speciality is getting open shots for players, whereas Cavaliers seem to just play a kind of style that was put the ball in our best players' hands and watch what happens. Mm-hmm. In terms of what you said about you've thought about it in so many ways and you can't find a way to say that Boston have got any worse in this. A lot of people have been talking about that, you know, in terms of, have we got worse, or have we stayed? You know, have we stayed the same, or have we improved? I think that the main way to put it into perspective is to say that at the start of the summer, if you were to say, you know, I'm going to give you a piece for piece trade here. I want for Avery Bradley, Isaiah Thomas, and Jay Crowder and the next pick, I'll give you in return Hayward, Kyrie, and Tatum. You would take that trade.
Well, Tatum was... That's not fair. And I mostly just mean, because I'm more intimidated by a lineup of Isaiah, maybe Marcus Smart / Jay Crowder, Gordon Hayward, Al Horford, and whoever we play at the five. I'm more intimidated by that than I am of maybe Jaylen Brown or Marcus Smart starting at the two with Kyrie. I just, and maybe I'm just like, there was something Bill Simmons said a while back on his podcast that was that you definitely rate your players a lot higher than any other person does. So a person's going to think Marcus Smart is maybe a B. A Celtics fan's gonna be like, no, he's an A-. You know, he's a really good player because he's really defensive. Like, we watch him all the time. So like, maybe I'm just ranking Isaiah too high and Jay Crowder too high. But for one dude to lose two guys who were so significant to our team, that hurts. And that I like feel like we should be worse, but I know that there wasn't a lot of depth for, or there was too much depth for Crowder to find significant minutes, and that we're upgrading Isaiah straight up. So it's worth it ultimately, but it still feels like we should be losing here, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the players I gave you there were just essentially just to put it into perspective about how much I believe that the team piece for piece has improved. And I think that a lot of it is becoming, like you said, you know, you overrate people. I've overrated players in the past, but I think a lot of it's emotional connection. Mm-hmm. I think what Isaiah's, you know, done for the team and the city, and he's made everything fun again. And I think that we've started to use our hearts rather than our heads when we think about Isaiah. And like I said, I woke up with heartbreak and eventually tried to rationalize things. And now I just think Kyrie can score, you know, he can create chances from nothing. Gordon Hayward, especially in a system, as we saw from him and Quinn Snyder in Utah last year, he's going to be incredible. I really think that he'll have a career year, you know, and I think the team has just got better. And it's not just because of Kyrie's such an amazing individual player. It's because I think that Brad Stevens will make the most out of his talents. And I think that Kyrie can really help Brad Stevens in terms of not necessarily making the team around him better, but adding more of a weapon to create more space for the teammates. And just generally just, I think that offensively we've taken a huge leap this summer.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's look at the black and white of it. I mean, Kyrie is 25 years old, so you pick up, well, you lose 4 years between him and Isaiah. Isaiah was 28 or 29, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So you gain a younger player, and something I think it was Wick Grasbeck said it today, that you never see a guy who's 25 years old who has the resume that Kyrie does. So on paper, he's just accomplished so much. Like, he's a veteran, even though he's still on like his second deal coming off his rookie contract.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got height. He's 6'3", has like 6 inches on Isaiah. He's not the best defender, but it's more just by his own. It's that he just hasn't played it. So in Steven's system, a lot of times you see guys improve on defense, get better at defense. And maybe that's something that Stevens can bring out of him. And then, yeah, you got his resume. He's got a championship ring, gold medal, 4-time All-Star in five years, I think. Only really downside is he's got a slight injury history and that he thinks that the world is flat. So.
yeah, I mean, I'm certainly not, you know, high on Kyrie as a, you know, he's going to add more sanity to the lineup. But I think that he's definitely, as a player, he's more of a sure thing. I think obviously with the upcoming contract issues, with the health of IT, with the fact that we had to game plan around him, with the fact that it always felt as though, like I said earlier on in the pod, it always felt as though everyone was waiting for him to be found out, and he hasn't been found out yet. But I think that Kyrie, what we have is a margin. I mean, he's just more of a sure thing. He's a marginally better defender. And like you said, Stevens can bring more out of him on that side. His height is more of a sure thing. He doesn't rely on his athleticism as much as Isaiah, because at that size, you need to be a hell of a lot quicker than the guy guarding you. Mm-hmm. And it felt like we really made the most out of him for the time he was here. But I think we've got a more of a sure thing in Kyrie Irving. I'm still trying to rationalize it now, to be honest, as you can hear, because I'm kind of thinking out loud. But I think that in the black and white, we've got a taller, more skilled probably, and more of a kind of big time shot maker on the roster now. And I'm starting to feel more positive about it.
What does it mean to you then that he said that he's thrilled to join the Celtics?
To be honest, doesn't mean a great deal.
Really?
In the sense that feels like the logical thing for anyone to say in this situation.
I think back to the 2014 draft, I think, Zach LaVine's year. And I remember he got drafted by the Timberwolves and he was so mad about it. And he like came up on the stage and like was like kind of, he didn't want to be wearing the Timberwolves hat and stuff.
Yeah.
And was being a total dick about it. But you know, I there are definitely guys who do that, you know, who get traded to some like nowhere team and they don't want to be there and they just don't, they're not very excited about it.
Well, and, we've seen trades in which the press shots and the press conferences happen, and you've got guys like Chris Humphrey looking like someone just slapped him wearing the Celtics jersey. So yeah, like you said, you know, there's a lot of examples of people not feeling particularly delighted. But Kyrie seemed like he just wanted an escape, and to end up on a good team in this situation is quite remarkable.
He did have his wish list though, and on the initial wish list, the Celtics weren't on there. It was like Miami, San Antonio, New York, and one other team. But he had that wish list when this all started like a month ago.
Yeah, I've said before, I think that believing that New York is an attractive trade destination might be more absurd and kind of far-fetched than believing the world is flat. I think that might be partially, though, because he didn't consider, and just like the rest of us, he didn't consider Boston as a realistic trade destination.
So then how do you feel about Ainge as a GM now after this? Because I have seen, even in the Celtics Life shoutbox, people saying that he should be fired.
And you've seen that today, is it?
Yeah, since this trade, last night especially, when I got home, I just went on just to see what was going on, and there were people who were like, Danny Ainge is the worst, and they were like really upset.
Yeah, but if you go on that same shoutbox every single day, you'll get people that are furious about the fact that he's stashing all these assets, and he loves assets too much, and he's not willing to make a big trade. He needs to pull the trigger. We've got too much of a logjam in terms of contracts. We've got a positional logjam. I think that you can't please everyone. And I think that what it's shown from Ainge is he's got courage. I think that he's displayed a fair bit of courage in this kind of move, because whilst it's a positive move, in my opinion, it is a calculated risk. There's absolutely no doubt about it, because you've given up so much in return for one guy who could, you know, he could get injured in his first practice. I mean, touch wood, that's not the case. But, you know, I feel like it shows that he's still willing to take risks after all these years of collecting assets.
Do you think that this is the best possible scenario for this deal, for both sides? I mean, for either side. From Celtics side, do you think it's the best possible scenario? And then from the Cavs side, what do you think?
Yeah, like I said before, I think that he... For Cleveland, this is the best deal. The reason being is because, I mean, if you'd said at the start of the summer, would it be a good deal for them? I'd say no, because they wouldn't want to get rid of Kyrie, because he's been a huge part of the reason they won the title. And he wasn't in each finals appearance, but he's been a big part of their relevant games and their contending games. And when they've needed him there, he's been there. So I don't think that at the start of the summer they would like this trade at all. But as soon as he came out and surprised everyone, you know, everyone was a bit dumbfounded by him wanting to leave LeBron. And, you know, many people speculate that's possibly because LeBron's on his way out eventually also. But I think that the best trade is the best return they could have got at this stage of the summer. And I think that it surprised me the amount that they got, especially with the pick, like we mentioned before, and the sheer amount of guys. But I think in terms of offense, they've got a replacement, a guy who can make big shots if he remains healthy. And if they're willing to buy into him as a player, they've got a guy who they can provide the opportunity to make big shots. I think that's a key part of it. They need to be willing to let him flourish. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously hard alongside LeBron. But for that reason, I think they've got a great return. Versatile forward in Jay Crowder. Zizic, we just don't know what his ceiling is. Isaiah is a hell of a shot maker, and they've got a pick for the future should LeBron leave. So, yeah, I think that's a great return for them. And then I think personally, like you said before in the pod, we've upgraded IT in terms of a piece-for-piece perspective. And we've got rid of a guy who possibly, you know, in Crowder, we've got rid of a guy that Brown and Tatum may have higher ceilings and may end up taking the minutes that he would be awarded. So I personally think that on both sides, we've got the best deal from a basketball point of view and a business point of view, considering the contract scenario.
Mm-hmm. Is the Brooklyn pick less valuable than, I mean, what do you think it was losing value? Because we've kind of talked about this. I think that this is the least valuable of the picks that we've had from Brooklyn because they're just getting better, right? So in itself, it's just going to probably lottery wise fall higher. Then,
yeah, for sure. I mean, Sean Marks has done an unbelievable job. And, you know, he's had absolutely nothing to play with considering that heist that took place. But I think Ainge definitely believes that the value of the Nets pick has diminished with the addition of Crab, D'Angelo, and Carroll. I think that we might see it around the same area as the Lakers pick that we got in the Fultz Tatum trade. I mean, you never know because Lakers have that kind of talent that could eventually come good and surprise a few people. But I think that now with the veteran, the savvy guys like Carroll and Crab and the huge potential of D'Angelo Russell, they could, and actually Caris LeVert, people like that, they could end up actually building and surprising a few people like they did in spurts over the last couple of years. Because there were times over the last couple of years where our Celtics fans have been kind of, you know, the Did Nets Win Twitter account?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been refreshing that kind of on a day-to-day basis to make sure they didn't pick up another win. Because at times I've thought, oh, man, they've just won two in a row. They're getting better. Brooke Lopez is starting to play better. Things like that. And, you know, oh, Jeremy Lin's going to make them better. Things, you know. So it's been a slow process for them. But considering the lack of pieces they've had, it's been quite remarkable. So I think this is, like you said, I think this is definitely the least valuable of the last 3 years. And I think that should it go Boston's way, Ainge is going to look really smart for the Lakers pick that they got from the Fultz and Tatum trade.
Mm-hmm. Do you think this, because, and I think we actually have an article on the site, are the Celtics, did we revive the Cleveland Cavaliers that looked like they were kind of pushed back, that LeBron was guaranteed going to leave, or at least there were these rumors starting to spin around that he was going to leave, and that Kyrie wanted out, and suddenly they were just going to fall apart, and the Celtics were easily going to be the number one seed and probably have a trip to the finals locked up. Do you think that we revive the Cavaliers? And then secondly, do you think we hurt our own chances of going further because we may have given the Cavs a better shot at making the title game or title series again?
I think that the guys in the media in the conference call asked Ainge the same question. You know, were you reluctant to trade with a conference rival? And I think Ainge basically said that out of this trade, we believe our team's got better. And I think that that's the key to this. The team got better in Ainge's opinion and, you know, the front office's opinion. And I think that when you get a chance to get a player like Kyrie Irving, you have to kind of sacrifice the fact that you're giving valuable assets to a rival. But that being said, I do think that the Cleveland have been given a lifeline that they wouldn't have got elsewhere. I think that a trade that I saw earlier on today was the Milwaukee Bucks one, which was Chris Middleton, Malcolm Brogdon, and a pick. And I don't think that gives them the same kind of lifeline and the same lifeline to try and keep LeBron.
Yeah, I can agree with that because I'm really high on both Chris Middleton and Malcolm Brogdon. But again, yeah, I don't know if that would have done nearly enough to kind of revitalize their chances. Do you think that it was already not a long shot, but it was still like the Celtics weren't guaranteed to make the finals. But I feel like we were, based on like stats like ESPN and things like that, were putting us at like most likely to get the one seed. And then I think we had like a slight edge on the Cavs to make it to the finals, if I'm not mistaken. Do you think that this pushes us back below them as far as chances to get to the title again? How what's the LeBron James effect as far as all this stuff goes?
I don't think that it pushes us below. I actually think that we've got a better chance of taking them. I think that, like I said before, I think that honestly, I believe that Kyrie was really harmful for Boston whenever we met them. And I think if we're going to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, Kyrie being on our side rather than their side eliminates a problem and creates an advantage for us. I think that even when Isaiah was playing great, we truly were outmatched by the talent of LeBron and Kyrie. And I think it actually brings us closer to overcoming Cleveland. That's certainly my opinion.
That's where I have the biggest kind of conundrum right now is how will we stack up to Cleveland? Because I think everyone else that we struggled with, because really, if a team could lock us down, and I remember we were worried about matching up with the Hawks first round in the playoffs, because they just knew. It's like Budenholzer just knew how to stop Isaiah Thomas, and that stopped all of our offense entirely. And it seems like there's no way to game plan for Kyrie Irving. So, and then you also add in Gordon Hayward and everything else that we've added as far as offensive threats go. So, that plus Kyrie Irving, I feel like we have fewer threats in the East. I don't think the Wizards are nearly as scary. I don't think that the Raptors are nearly as scary. I think our only threat now is the Cavs. And I don't know if I'm ready to say that we're going to be able to take them on because we now have Kyrie in place of Crowder. Being as Crowder was one of our best defenders on LeBron James. And Avery Bradley was one of our best defenders on LeBron James and Kyrie Irving when he was playing and things like that. So yeah, to lose our two best on-ball defenders and then go up against the Cavs again, it's like there's a bit of concern about what they're going to do to us offensively. So,
yeah, but do you know who else was one of the best defenders on LeBron James in the league was Marcus Morris? Marcus Morris had something as well. So, you know, I think that in terms of, like you said, we had Isaiah as the absolute main threat on offense. And when he was signed, people hoped that Horford would bring a bit more of that. But over time, we start to learn that he's actually a really, really beneficial player to have, but he's not your go-to scoring guy. I was delighted with the signing of Gordon Hayward. And I think even at that point, I thought, you know, we just got light years better on offense. And it benefits by proxy. It benefits players because it creates better spacing. And I think that also applies to Marcus Morris. You know, when he gets on the court, he can defend the biggest guys, the strongest guys, and he can make shots. Certainly, I think more consistently than Jay Crowder. So, I think we move closer to Cleveland in many ways by a lot of pieces being added together to make one kind of stronger team.
This doesn't necessarily have a lot to do with this trade, but what do you think our starting five is going to be?
I was thinking about this a lot today, actually. I think that I heard on Simmons' recent podcast, Kevin O'Connor stated that he believes it's going to be a similar starting lineup to last year positionally. And Aaron Baines is going to start as the big body inside. Al Horford is going to play at the four so that they can kind of say, yeah, Al, we know you don't want to be a centre, so we're going to put you at the four. And then they were going to have Hayward, Smart and Kyrie. I'm not entirely sure that's the case. I don't think they need to do that. I think that Marcus Smart can start. We can start Kyrie, Marcus Smart at the shooting guard, plug someone like Brown in and Hayward, go small ball, put Al Horford inside.
I go back and forth about whether we start Smart at the two or a guy like Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I was thinking. You know, an alternative lineup to the one that was suggested by Kevin O'Connor is one in which we're ready to take the leap alongside Jaylen, you know, ready to give him that big chance of regularly contributing.
I feel like maybe, yeah, and I think that's something that we have to be really trusting in him for, and something that even Stevens talked about before this trade, that we need Jaylen Brown to make that jump, whether it's both offensively and defensively. Because Smart, obviously, he's a very elite defender, but he's a liability on the offensive end most of the time. There are times where he's hitting and he's suddenly lethal. That game, like in the playoffs against the Wizards, I think, where he went like 6 for 7 from three, just went completely off. But every other day, he bricks threes like he's building a house, you know?
Mm-hmm. But it's a weird one with Marcus Smart because, like you said, as Boston fans, possibly we overvalue him, but he is beloved. And the reason is because he does everything, you know, everything that most guys don't want to do. And he'll put you in a position to win just from kind of somehow getting the ball in a unique situation, putting the ball in the basket. And whilst he's not a shot maker, I was actually speaking to, there's a name drop here, James Holis from B-Ball Breakdown last week. And he stated that he believes this is a great opportunity for Marcus, not the Kyrie trade, but the addition of Gordon Hayward and additional talent. He believes that this is great for Marcus Smart because it frees him up to just be Marcus Smart. He's not going to be expected to be plugged in and, you know, make sure you spot up and, you know, fit into the system by making these shots. He's just going to be able to run into space. He's going to be able to kind of slash and find himself in Marcus Smart situations. So I think it's great for Marcus Smart, but it's just about whether they believe in him enough to start him or they think that he'd be best to run the second unit. What do you think about that?
I really like that idea of Marcus being able to just be himself, you know? I don't know. I think he thrives better when he isn't the go-to guy. I think he's a really good off-the-ball player and someone who thrives off the ball. Not necessarily as like a catch and shoot. I wish he would drive more because I think he's a lot more of a threat at the rim and in the paint.
Mm.
Especially, and we saw in like the later stage of the season, I guess kind of middle, late part of the season where he was actually posting up and was actually doing really well. And then kind of strayed away from that and tried to get back into shooting threes again, which is just not his game. But I would rather that he's alongside Kyrie as a starting two. Almost, and then let Jaylen lead the second unit.
Yeah, I actually agree with that. I think that, you know, that whole notion of letting Marcus Smart be himself certainly isn't a spot-up shooter on the wing. I think it's the guy who's, you know, making backdoor cuts, slashing, finding himself in open space because he's outworked his defender, and then on the defensive end, being able to guard everyone from, you know, Steph Curry to Paul Millsap. Like you said, I think that it'd be best because we all know that basketball's positionless now. Shooting guard doesn't mean that the guy has to be able to shoot. It helps, but Marcus Smart being alongside a shot maker like Kyrie Irving, like you said, I think is a huge benefit to the team. And if we're ready to let Jaylen Brown lead an entire second unit, wow, it'd be great to see.
Mm-hmm. And especially I remember Marcus Smart over the course of the offseason, I think it was maybe in the beginning of July, posted those videos of him just draining buckets from deep, right? Granted, there were no defenders or anything, but he was still, you know, he was really making stuff work. So if he can actually make those shots on a consistent basis, could you imagine what that'd do to, like, because they're going to probably be doubling Kyrie, right?
Yeah.
And if he drives, kicks it to Marcus Smart with nobody on him, and he can hit that shot, holy shit, that'd be disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, if they double Kyrie Irving and then they're somehow leaving Gordon Hayward open, man, that gives so much space to guys like Smart and guys like Brown, who's started to improve his shot. Anyone, really. I mean, it really is. This kind of conversation is when you start to realize how progressive this trade is, personally, I believe, because you start to think about the space that's going to be created, because you've got elite ball handler in Kyrie Irving. You've got Gordon Hayward that is probably going to play the second option on offense. At times will be the first port of call. And then you've got guys like Al Horford creating space for the both of them. And then if Marcus Smart could take a leap like you discussed, it's going to be devastating for the opposing teams. However, like everyone knows, it's really easy to look good in an empty gym where your friend is recording you on his cell phone.
I really don't look good in an empty gym, especially when someone is recording me on their cell phone. So
with enough editing, you'll be
okay,
fine.
Okay, yeah, I'm sure we could make something. We're going to make a highlight tape when we're done recording this. have I told you about my jersey curse? Because it lives on.
Go ahead.
Know my jersey? So if I buy a player's jersey, mm-hmm. they're going to get traded.
And so you bought Zizic's jersey?
No, do you know, I just bought Isaiah's jersey like 3 weeks ago.
Oh,
it was like, sweet, like alternate. It was a sweet jersey. I was really excited about it. I've worn it once. And then I was like geared up to come home, and I like saw these trade rumors. I was like, it's going to happen. This is going to happen. And then I got home, and as I got pulled in, I saw the trade news, and I was like, God damn it. I just bought $60 jersey. And then I also have a Jay Crowder jersey too, so it's not even just that. I also have the Jay Crowder one. He just got traded also. So
you know what the good thing about the Isaiah jersey is? He's always going to be a Celtic.
You think so?
I think that what he's done in terms of reviving his career and making the last couple of years incredibly fun. And I think he embodied so much of the spirit. I don't want to be a walking cliche here, but I think he embodies a lot of the spirit about what it means to be a star sports person in Boston. And I think he was a leader for the unit that overachieved. And I think because of the kind of the everyman aspect of him being an undersized point guard who became a absolute, you know, he was an all-star. He was... you know, he was in the conversation at one point for MVP, albeit kind of in the peripherals. But I think that these 2 years won't be forgotten. And I took the trip, as you know, I took the trip over to Boston early this year, mm-hmm. And spent a week there. And the buzz is incredible. And a lot of that was created by Isaiah for those couple of games. I was there for the Detroit Pistons game in February and the Toronto Raptors game, and then the Paul Pierce game against the Clippers.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely palpable. You know, Isaiah created a positive mood and a positive feeling around Boston. And I don't think that'll be forgotten. You know, I don't live in Boston, but I just felt it, you know, and I just so happened to be there for that incredible night against the Raptors where he absolutely torched them. And I think it's those kind of nights that put you down in folklore. And I think your jersey, you don't need to dispose of it. And you keep it, and he's always going to be a Boston Celtic.
Is there anyone that you want me to get the jersey of that you don't want on the Celtics? Because seemingly this curse works really well.
Let's have a think.
Maybe hold on to that. But if there's anybody you start seeing guys underperform, you can hit me up. Anybody, all listeners, you can hit me up on this, because apparently I'm the... Should I get a Paul George jersey, like a Paul George Thunder jersey, and hope that he just gets traded to the Celtics somehow or something?
Great idea.
Maybe. We'll try and use this to our advantage somehow. Anybody that you want? I don't know. We'll figure it out. Speaking of jersey numbers, though, Kyrie's going to wear 11. He announced, I think, or like Twitter, I think, announced. So this has been discussed now. He's going to be number 11, which kind of revives the 7-11 get buckets. If you want Jaylen and Kyrie to be the duo now, maybe?
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. But you know, I don't think the problem is that, you know, Brown and Tatum were the rookies. They were the kind of cult players to root for in that respect, because they were never going to be the key guys in the team, you know, straight off the bat. I think that nickname really worked because they were coming up together. When Gordon Hayward's clearly probably going to be our second best player, I'm not entirely sure that's going to have the legs that we'd hope for. But I can't think of any. I know that Glenn Davis was number 11. I mean, will he be able to, you know, improve on the legacy that was created by Big Baby?
Is that I'm confident that he'll be able to live up to that legacy, build on it, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you know, he can honor it. He can honor Big Baby's legacy, but hopefully not follow the same dietary, you know, instruction.
I guess, I mean, Evan Turner was 11, right? Most recent number 11.
Of course, yeah, of course.
The cadet. I loved Evan Turner. Evan Turner was my dude. He retweeted me the other day. I loved it. So,
what was your tweet?
I don't know. I think it was something nostalgic about Evan Turner being the best, and he was like, yeah, retweeted it with like a crying face.
He's the logo, man.
Yes, he should be. He is. Anything you're working on for the site?
I'm busy guy. It's the life of a part-time journalist. I'm picking up things in such a hectic time like this. I'm going to be looking at picking up on any kind of upcoming news in relation to this trade. I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more about the fallout, and I'll be ready to contribute.
Yeah, well, you can find all our stuff on CelticsLife.com. While you're there, check out the links at the top of the website. We have a huge variety of shirts and hoodies in our store. Plus, you can get tickets to the next game, which will be preseason games that will be in the TD Garden. You can get that also under that heading. And you can find the podcast on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and most podcatcher apps. Make sure you subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And if you like what you hear, we'd really appreciate it if you gave us a 5-star rating. It helps us be seen by other people looking for basketball podcasts. Really helps us out. And if you don't like something or you have a suggestion, let us know with a comment on any Celtics Life article, or you can hit us up with the hashtag CLPod, because we want to bring you guys the Celtics coverage you want. Also, if you want us to trade for somebody, you want me to buy a jersey, CLPod that, because clearly that works. Anything you want to hit on before we take off, man?
No, I'm all good. Really enjoyed talking with you.
All right, yeah, it was a good one. Thanks, everybody. Have a good week.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 Dream Beach vacation. Imagine jet-setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.